Chapter 19. I woke up standing at the sink with the water running. I had a moment of total panic, a sense of complete disorientation, my heart racing while my crusty eyelids fluttered in an attempt to catch up. The place was wrong. The sink didn't look right. I wasn't even sure who I was. In my dream, I had been standing in front of my sink with the water running. But it hadn't been this sink. I had been scrubbing my hands, working the soap hard, cleansing my skin of every microscopic fleck of horrible red blood, washing it away with water so hot it left my skin pink and new and antiseptic. And the hot of the water bit harder after the cool of the room I had just left behind me, the playroom, the killing room, the room of dry and careful cutting. I turned off the water and stood for a moment, swaying against the cold sink. It had all been far too real, too little like any kind of dream I knew about. And I remembered so clearly the room. I could see it just by closing my eyes. I am standing above the woman, watching her flex and bulge against the tape that holds her, seeing the living terror grow in her dull eyes, seeing it blossom into hopelessness. And I feel the great surge of wonder rise up in me and flow down my arm to the knife. And as I lift the knife to begin, but this is not the beginning, because under the table there is another one, already dry and neatly wrapped. And in the far corner there is one more, waiting her turn with a hopeless black dread unlike anything I have ever seen before, even though it is somehow familiar and necessary. This release of all other possibility, so complete it washes me with a clean and pure energy, more intoxicating than... Three. There are three of them this time. I opened my eyes. It was me in the mirror. Hello, Dexter. Had a dream, old chap. Interesting, wasn't it? Three of them, hey? But just a dream. Nothing more. I smiled at me, trying out the face muscles, completely unconvinced. And as rapturous as it had been, I was awake now, and left with nothing more than a hangover and wet hands. What should have been a pleasant interlude in my subconscious had me shaking, uncertain. I was filled with dread at the thought that my mind had skipped town and left me behind to pay the rent. I thought of the three carefully trussed playmates and wanted to go back to them and continue. I thought of Harry and knew I couldn't. I was whipsawed between a memory and a dream, and I couldn't tell which was more compelling. This was just no fun anymore. I wanted my brain back. I dried my hands and went to bed again, but there was no sleep left in this night for dear, decimated Dexter. I simply lay on my back and watched the dark pools flowing across the ceiling until the telephone rang at 5:45. "You were right," Deb said when I picked up. "It's a wonderful feeling," I said with a great effort at being my usual bright self. "Right about what?"